Hello, my darlings. You are listening to Healing in Doses, a place for bite-sized nuggets of healing magic, provided one spoonful at a time. It's your girl, Siobhan, owner of Sweet Immunity, and you are on episode 3 of a 3-part extension of Astro Ramblings, where we are diving into the astrological modes. So, cardinal, fixed, mutable, what do they mean? What's the big idea? This episode is dedicated exclusively to the mutable signs that include Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius. If you would like to continue on from this point, do not change that station. But if you'd like a quick introduction to what we're discussing in these 3 episodes, skip over to back to episode 1, where we talk about the cardinals and also why modes, right? Why would we even want to break these down? What purpose do they serve? How do they influence our astrological signs and the energy that puts forth and how they show up in the world? How they shape our interaction with our environment, our immediate environment, and importantly, the individuals that travel through our environments as well. And so if you've ever wondered how you differ or why you differ from a sign within your same element, right? So why do Sagittarians approach life very different than Aries? And how does that fire element show up very differently for the two signs, although they share a common passion? What does that mean? All of that can be explained in part by the modes. And so understanding them is further dissection of your birth chart, and again, giving you the tools that would be helpful in navigating not only relationships, but your own internal growth. So I will go ahead and stop with the intro here. As a special note, be sure to have your birth chart handy, or at least an understanding of it in your mind. You may want to start tracking how much mutable energy you have in your chart up against the fixed and the cardinals that we speak about before. So I hope you enjoy the ride and the discussion. If you have a question or a comment, please leave it wherever you listen to this podcast, and I will be sure to get back to you. Or you can also email me at sweetimmunity@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to help clarify any points for you. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. So let's go ahead and dive in to our mutable signs, our mutable energy. And so those signs include Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, and Sagittarius. Now off the bat, you're like, what the hell do any of these signs have in common? How could they be linked in any way? But surprisingly, they have some really strong core traits. And you'd be surprised how many partnerships are formed between Virgos and Sagittarians, or Geminis and Virgos, or Pisceans and Sagittarius, no matter how strongly they differ in terms of their element, right? And so what do these signs have in common? They are changeable, right? To be mutable is to be changeable, adaptable, flexible, to be open and sometimes really eager for transition and transformation. You can see that in their position within our 4 seasons, right? Where do they pop up? Pisces, it comes at the very end of winter before spring. It is the season where all things are cold and icy and underneath snow. You're not thinking that life is happening underneath it, but it actually is. And Pisces season is a season that prepares one for that growth that happens during Aries season, where we kickstart that cardinal time and that cardinal season of growth and opportunity, right? Gemini comes at the very end of spring before summer, right? It's that transitional period before we really get into the heart of summer. Virgo is at the very end of summer before we get into the real kind of depths and heart of fall. And Sagittarius comes at the very end of fall before we really get into the heart and soul of winter. And so what do they do in that time? Well, they prepare us. That energy of adaptability, of flexibility, it prepares us for the ending of things. The natural process of death and rebirth, the meaning and the importance of letting something go in order for new life to emerge. And so these signs, again, they differ very, very deeply by element and principle and common traits and expressions. But what they do share is a feeling of freedom with letting go, with being unstuck. They really like freedom. They like freedom to move. They like exactness with freedom. They like the ability to become renewed. And so there's some shadow and some light that comes with that. But when you're talking about a mutable sign, you're talking about a sign that is a destructive or a disruptive force, depending on where you are in your life and in your journey, or a welcomed force, if it is something that you truly are looking to break through, if you have hit a wall and you're looking to break through and you're looking to find a new path, you're looking to evolve past your own limitations. Well, mutable energy is a great energy to call upon in your own chart. They can be destructive if you are very fixed or have a lot of fixed energy, right? And so for my Tauruses or my Leos out there, someone who can pretty much go with the flow and go with the wind and change their mind very often or change their actions or respond very vividly and quickly to new energy and to new understandings, that may feel very erratic to you. It may feel kind of really unstable or you know, there's a lot of instability and a lot of unreliability, right, with that. Or, and at times, irresponsibility, depending on how fixed you are. To someone who is a cardinal or has a lot of cardinal energy, it feels disruptive, right? If you have a singular goal and a singular path, mutable energy may feel like the worst type of sideline, you know, the worst type of like shortcut, right? It may have an Alice in Wonderland vibe to you. Like, what is reality? And what is tangible and what is real and how the hell do I get out of this maze and out of this circus, right? That's the how the energy can be perceived by others depending on what is dominant in your chart. But for one who is a mutable sun sign or has a lot of mutable energy, there's a lightness to it, right? There's the ability to really seek out different opportunities and different possibilities for reality. When you think about like the Fool card in tarot, that naivete of leaping, of jumping, of reaching for something where you don't really know how it's gonna end up, but you reach and you jump for it anyway. That's mutable, right? That's a mutable energy. And so the different elements, right? Water, air, fire, earth, in the mutable category, they reflect that freedom and that openness in very different ways that align so much to their element. What's important to note for anyone who has a lot of mutable energy in their chart, and when I say that, I mean you have planets in multiple mutable signs, right? You may have a lot of planets in Gemini or Virgo, dominant stellium maybe in Pisces or Sagittarius. What is really important to understand for yourself, if you are that person or you are in relationship, whether at work or romantically or your familial relationships, and they have that energy, is to understand the power of one's environment. Mutable energy is, for some, dominated by their environment. So whatever container that they are in has a big impact on how they perceive the world and how they move and how flexible and adaptable they can be. What is not spoken about enough, I think, is how they equally dominate and influence their environment as well. So it's not just that they are receivers, they are also influencers. They also apply a great deal of influence and flexibility in their environment. And that's where it goes back into, at times there's a perception of destruction or disruptiveness, because when you have a mutable person in your world, you know it, right? If you've built up some boundaries, if you've built up some walls, you know, mutable people are just trying to find a way to get beyond it, trying to find a way to get through it. And so when that mutable energy shows up, if you are heavily fixed, it feels like, it can feel pervasive. It can feel like an invasion, unless it is the energy that you're looking for and you're like, please help me reshape my inner world, right? But the environment and the people within their world become part of that environment, as it does with all of with the other two modes as well. And as a group, as a sign group, mutable energy is, there's a reciprocity in the influence. Their environment can influence them. So how they grew up, how many family members they grew up around, who did they grow up around, the relationships that they are in, the partners that they've chosen throughout their life, the partnerships that they formed at work, in educational settings, there's a great level of potency in how those individuals across a mutable person's life influences their personality. In addition, mutable signs have a knack for influencing the realities of those folks as well. And so there's this reciprocity of being influenced and also influencing depending on the stage of their development. And so the environment has a huge impact on how mutable signs express themselves and what they are able to accomplish in a given stage of their life, right? And for some of you who are mutable, you're probably like, oh my God, yes. Like there are times when I need to run, I need to go, I need to fly. And so when you hear words that get associated with Sagittarius's or Gemini's or Pisces, even Virgos to a certain degree, that they are movers or that they're very changeable or that they're escaping, right? Escapism is a big word that gets attached to multiple mutable signs because of their ability to pack up and leave, to transition out of one situation into another, to change jobs very quickly, to change partners very quickly. And there's an assumption or a misinterpretation or a change of perception or a misconception around what that means. Are they running from something or are they running towards something? That you would have to ask a mutable for. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. Sometimes they are running into the new opportunity and running away from a bad opportunity, because freedom of movement and experiencing life for all that life has to offer, those are the traits that they share regardless of the element that they sit in. They tend to be very, very good with the chaos of everyday life, right? And so if you know a Gemini, that kind of makes sense. If you are a Gemini, yeah, you have a way of being able to process the wild, crazy, wacky, unorthodox aspects of our everyday lives. Structure can be very difficult. And so finding freedom within structures and finding fluidity within structures is like a secret subconscious and at times conscious goal of the mutable sign group. And so regardless of that element, they all have a changeable quality that gets adapted in different ways. What becomes difficult, if you can imagine, is when there are times that decisions need to be made. So if you're trying as a mutable sign and someone with dominant mutable energy, if you're trying to achieve a goal, if you're trying to make a decision, well, I ain't got to tell you, you know how tough that shit can be. you know how endless distractions can play a part in delaying that success. You know how you can see something and get inspired and just go crazy and go forth because you are so inspired by what is possible. And so it becomes this full card in the zodiac. You are ready to go, in tarot, you are ready to go, you are ready to leap, boundless energy. You were starting from zero and you are going forth with your innocence and with your hope. And that sometimes can be amazing and that sometimes can be devastating. But one thing about mutables is that they're able to pick themselves back up and reset, right, and reemerge in a way that the cardinal energy and the fixed energy may have to work a little harder to do. So finding focus in that chaos is a mutable sign's greatest ally, because if you can harness that energy, even temporarily, there's so much you can accomplish with that speed of movement, right? Finding ways to stay grounded, tapping into that fixed energy, even when you don't like to, that is something that will serve you really well in trying to navigate and achieve your goals. Now, Pisces, Geminis, Virgos, and Sagittarians, they're known for how well they're able to either flex their mind, their ideals, their desires, or their needs to suit whatever transformation is happening in that present moment. So think about 2020 and think about the dreams, the plans, you probably are still dreaming as a mutable sign. You probably still have hope that things will get better. You probably, even in your darkest moments, even in your darkest days, even in the loneliest, you know, parts of quarantine where you can't leap and fly and go and move as much as you may want to, you are still in your heart, that fire is still burning for what is possible after this period of time. And so that guiding light of what is possible, this current reality, it might be here, it might not, you know, reality is an illusion, who knows, right? For my Pisces out there, you know, that you walk around with that self-concept a lot, right? Reality is an illusion. This ain't even really here. We're not really even here. We're just spirits and souls, spiritual beings in a physical body. You know, that's it. And this physical body is limitless and boundless, right? When you think about those kinds of words, limitless, boundless, boundaryless, all of those words are very mutable in their context, because it's all about freedom regardless of what fixed state you are in, right? So as the world changes, so do they. I once was kind of learning from an astrologer whose name I always forget, but they talk about the mutable signs and how intuitive and open-minded and emotionally intelligent they are, because in effort to transform the people around them, in effort to transform themselves and support and adapt to what is around them in their environment, they have to kind of see what's happening, what's going on, where they can fit, where they can be useful, how they can be useful, what purpose do they serve beyond the confines of their immediate environment. And for others, that can seem, on the lower octave, that can seem fickle, that can seem rash, that can seem irresponsible, is a word that comes around a lot, that can seem unreliable. Geminis, you know, get called two-faced a lot, like they're talking through both sides of their mouth. Sagittarians, you know, for whatever reason, people think that they can't stay in a long-term relationship. And I know a lot of Sagittarians in a long-term relationship. There's a lot of these stereotypes, right? And misconceptions that come about with mutable signs because of their ability to unshackle themselves from whatever confines of this world, in this very, very practical and fixed and cardinal world that has been constructed for us as people. And so when you look at them individually, what does that mean? How is that reflected in their particular elemental quality? So let's kick it off with Pisces. So Pisces is mutable water. For some, that feels like a double, you know, that feels like a double yes, right? It's mutable and it's water. Of course, water is mutable. Water as an element fills up any container that it is given. You pour some water in there, it's what's going to do. Rivers find their way to flow, whether you like them or not. And Pisceans are the fish. So what do fish do? Fish swim. They find their way through caverns, and they swim at the top of the ocean when they need food and they need light. And there are also fishes that swim down in the depths of the ocean in the darkness and have adapted themselves over their evolutionary period to be able to navigate that level of darkness and that level of uncertainty. And so Pisceans have that innate sense of being flexible on an emotional level. If you ever seen one of those, like, David Attenborough, I think that's his name, documentaries on animals and the environment, and like he'll do one on mammals, he'll do one on mountain animals, but when he talks about any type of oceanic creature, and he gets to the talking about fishes or talking about dolphins or talking about whales, or again talking about, you know, starfish or any kind of oceanic creature, he uses words, he talks a lot about their senses, right? And them may at times not having the best eyesight, may not even have the best hearing, but they can feel and they can sense what's happening. If there's tension, if there are other fish that are scurrying, if there is joy, they can feel it. They can feel it on their body. They can feel it. There's a sense, there's like a sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth sense that humans probably haven't even evolved to yet, that they have in order to get a sense of, are they safe? Can they be at play here? Do they need to move? And so where does the mutable aspect come in with Pisces? It is the most mutable and flexible and adaptable and changeable in terms of the emotions, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that Pisceans don't have a grasp of their emotions or that their emotions are changeable. It's not necessarily a moody sign. It is a sign that has the ability to harness great levels of empathy. And so they can feel the emotions of others. They can read a room. They can feel the energy of a room. They can feel the energy of a person. Known for being an escapist kind of sign, known for being a loner or lonely type of signs, not because they don't like people or they don't have any friends, but at times the emotional weight that comes from others is too much to bear. So they will find different outlets. On the positive side, it may be travel, it may be books, it may be art. On the negative side, there's that association with drugs, alcohol, or deepening of vices to, again, escape the emotional or fixed states of the world. And this level of emotional adaptability, right? It's not just one way. It's not just individuals applying emotional strain to a Pisces. Pisceans have the ability to influence the emotions of others as well. They have the ability to turn up the energy in the room and turn it down if they are engaged enough to do so. There's a level of sensitivity, impressionability that can make them very sensitive, but also make it, influence others in being really sensitive to them as well. And so there's a mutual exchange of energy on an emotional level, and that opens them up. And so what's important to note about Piscean energy is that there is, you know, that doorway opens both ways. And so on the positive level, it's wonderful to be able to expel and expand loving energy from yourself to another person and from that person to expend it to you. But if you are in an environment where there's a lot of negativity in a space, in a home, at a job, if there's a lot of competition, if there are negative energies that is coming from a partner, again, that door swings both ways. And so you are just as vulnerable with a lot of Pisces energy to acquire and have other people's negative energy sit on top of whatever is stirring in your own spirit. And so it's important for Pisceans to acknowledge that it is reciprocal. All of the mutable signs have that reciprocity to where they can influence and they can be influenced. And for our Pisceans, it's on an emotional level. When we go next to Gemini, same quality, mutable air though, and so it's intellectual. All signs are about the mind. Libras influence the mind through relationships and the dynamic of relationships. You have Aquarians that do it in ideas and opinions. And with Gemini, they have the flexibility as it relates to their intelligence and their ability to grasp new information, new opinions, new nuggets of data is everywhere. So Geminis are always on what they see, what they read, what they hear. If it's knowledge, if it's information, it's awesome. They can go into new frames of thought about the exact same topic and be just as committed to either thought, which can make some people really, really frustrated because you want them to pick a side, but they're not picking a side. All of it is good information. And so with Geminis, again, it's reciprocal. They can influence the minds and opinions of others around them, especially if they're really turning that Gemini up and they're engaging the people with all of their knowledge, with all of their ideas, with all of the possibilities that live in their head, all of the realities that can always be possible from an intellectual perspective. But equally, they themselves can be influenced by the thoughts, ideas, intellectual pursuits, attributes of other people. And so for Geminis, taking a stand and staying there and picking a side and staying there and not always trying to, understanding that sometimes you can't solve for every problem. Sometimes you have to pick one problem at a time. Sometimes you can't spread yourself and try to solve every equation. Sometimes you got to pick one equation at a time and be committed to the answer that you have in that moment and be committed to your own sense of integrity and rightness and what you believe in and so and what is important to you. And so with Geminis, it's important to and in your chart, if you have a lot of energy, so a lot of planets concentrated within Gemini, and you find yourself at times just unable to make a decision, find some fixed in your life. Find that fixed friend. I know a lot of great pairings between Geminis and Tauruses, because Taurus is gonna pick a side. And so Geminis need to tap into the people in their life that have a little, that are a little more discerning and solid when it comes to the idea of rightness. What is right? What is wrong? What is yes? What is no? And yeah, there could be other outcomes, but what's important for this moment, this time, and whatever question is on the table, that is what Geminis need to really develop with this skill. Because on one side, Geminis have the ability to really help people think through things and break through the limitations that they have in their own frame of reference, right? We all come into this world with a story, and our story reflects our values. And many times we take our values from what has happened to us, our past experiences, our current experiences, our lessons that we've learned. And if we're not careful, we can kind of stay there and we can live there and begin to build our internal realities based on just that piece of information. And so Gemini energy can help you discover new kinds of scenarios and new possibilities in places that you may not have expected to look. Gemini energy is good for helping you read books you've never read, study things you never thought to study, learn languages you may not ever speak, go to places you may not ever think to go, engage with different mindsets and people from different backgrounds, individuals that have different life experiences, so that you can flex that muscle and shape that muscle to where your values and your experiences don't define and color every single thing that happens in your life. You can take information from other people and make judgment calls from there. And so Gemini energy has that capacity to do that. What it struggles with at times is when it comes to that moment of having to lay claim to something, stand up for something, there's a waiver there that is important to understand, to reflect upon, and to find that fixed energy when you need it so that you are able to stand your ground when it's most important. When we look at Virgo, right? Virgo is an earth sign. Yes, she is. Mutable earth. However, Virgo and Gemini have something in common. They are ruled by the planet Mercury. And so Mercury is all about ideas, communication, friendships, learning, language, all of that good stuff, travel, quick movement, short trips, where you grew up, how did you grow up, the neighborhood, the community around you, right? So the planet Mercury rules all of that, right? When we have Mercury retrogrades, they slow down the flow of information. Sometimes they confuse the flow of information, or they give you new types of information that you never thought you had. And so both Gemini and Virgo are ruled by this planet. So Virgo ends up being a lot more cerebral and a lot more information driven than the other two earth signs. Definitely a lot more than Taurus, because Taurus is all about, what do I see, feel, hear, right now, in front of me? Yes, no, maybe, not maybe so, just yes or no. And Cardinal Capricorns are all about data and information that gets them to an outcome. They're not necessarily here for precision, so to speak. They're like, what is the quickest way to grandma's house? What's the quickest way of getting this money? What's the quickest way of figuring it out? What strategy can we employ? We're not here for getting it right per se, right? What did they say? Like, perfection is the enemy of success, or perfection is the enemy of outcomes. I don't know. They have all these sayings out here with these business things, but they're not interested in precision. Now, Virgos, on the other hand, they're interested in precision, right? They are interested in how something works. What are the mechanics behind a thing? And that's where that planet Mercury gets to flex itself in a different way. And so Virgos are versatile in their ability to see multiple details. They are the ultimate project managers, because they are able to view the project and not just see the start and the end, or the brainstorming sessions that went into creating this project plan, creating this strategy. They're able to see, find, and anticipate bottlenecks in the process, gaps in the process, areas of opportunity in the process. They are able to see whether or not something is going to veer off course and what do we need to do or change or maneuver or fix or move. Again, mutable is all about movement. And so what are we going to change, move, alter, redefine, redirect to stay on task? Because it's all about the mechanisms and it's about precision. It's not about just getting something done. It is about how we get it done and the multiple ways that something can go well and the multiple ways that something cannot go well. And have we accounted for that? And so when you encounter Virgo energy, as humans, we encounter it as perfectionism, right? Or we encounter it as criticism. We tell our Virgo friend that we bought a new outfit. We put on said outfit. We think it looks cute. We spent a lot of money on it. And that Virgo is like, huh, it's asymmetrical. Why would they do that? Oh, it's tighter here, but looser there. It's off the shoulder. Should it be that way? Is that going to snag at some point? What happens if you gain weight? Is it going to look a little funny after you gain weight? What happens if you lose weight? Is it going to fit the same way? Will you have to take it back? I'm not sure that's going to work in the fall. It's more of a summer outfit. If you wear it in the fall, are you going to layer it right? That's Virgo, right? And so to someone who's like, I just bought a new outfit and I wanted you to know it was pretty and I wanted you to see if it was fly and they're like, yeah, that's cool, but is it functional? And if it's not, here are the 37 ways that it isn't. And so now that you know those ways, how can you fix it before it gets out of control? That's Virgo. And so in that respect, they're very helpful. They're very versatile in how they think about that because they're looking at the details. They're reading in between the lines. They are not interested in facts for the sake of facts. They are not interested in movement for the sake of movement. And therefore, they're not interested in being grounded and rooted in, like their Taurus counterpart, for the sake of doing so. For them, is it precise? Is it the correct way to go? Is it the right way to handle a situation? Do we need to employ some movement here and maybe in other areas we stay put? That's the type of question that a Virgo is asking. And that is the kind of question that a Virgo is asking everyone else. So Virgos are just as critical and hard on themselves as they are on the rest of the world. The same questions that they would be asking you about that outfit or about a plan that you are trying to launch or about a goal you're trying to get to, they would be asking themselves the exact same questions about their own goals, about their own plans. And so if it looks like they're earthy and they won't move on a decision similar to a Taurus, it's not because they are stuck with that idea. It's because they're stuck to it until they get right and exact with what comes next after step one and after step two and after step three and so on and so on and so forth. And so back to that quote that I just can't get right, that perfection becomes an enemy to their ultimate success. That perfection can come to be an enemy if it's not harnessed correctly to them actually achieving a goal or getting a goal accomplished rather, right? They might achieve it. It just might take them longer. Or they may be so self-critical that they don't even start, right? So it's possible and they have the capacity and the aptitude and the intelligence and the resources, but they just might not move on it because everything is not exactly how it should be, or they've anticipated too many bottlenecks, too many roadblocks after they've done what I call the Doctor Strange and they've looked at all, 473 million possibilities and they haven't figured out the way that is the most right and exact to get to that perfect spot, to get to that perfect being. And so when you think about that from an earth perspective, it's still very determined, like earth signs. It's still very goal oriented, but again, they are looking at the mechanisms that go into making something a reality. So making something tangible, which taps into that Taurus energy, and making something, and actually not just making it tangible, but making it an achievement, which taps into their Capricorn
brethren in the earth sign category. And so that's where you see their mutable sign come up. So when you feel like you're getting criticized by a Virgo and Virgos, when you feel like you're over criticizing yourself, understand that your attention to detail is beautiful, right? If we didn't have it in this world, we'd be sloppy as shit. We wouldn't have anything together. We would completely, miss some really key, critical necessities to how we actually go about our plans, go about our strategies. How are we going to get that house? What are the steps we need to take to formally open our business? Like all of those details in the world that people miss and frustrate people every day, that's where Virgos can come in, and that Virgo energy can come in to support us and help us along our path. The thing that we need to be mindful of is to not allow that energy to take away from the joy of learning, growing, making mistakes, the joy of losing. Yes, there is joy in losing. I'm about to get to Sagittarius. There's joy in losing. There's joy in losing, and there's joy in stumbling, and there's joy in finding your way and being able to start over. And so for my Virgos and those with heavy Virgo energy, try to find your way. Get you another mutable sign. Tap into your Pisces. You know, Pisces, you and Pisces are on the same axis. Tap into a Piscean real quick. Tap into your Capricorns in your life who are like, listen, you might fail it, but you get up and you emerge and you go forth again. And that Pisces and the other mutable energies will say, yeah, you failed at that. You might have missed a step. You might have missed something. It's okay. You'll find your way in the next project. You'll find your way on the other side. And so learning to have faith in finding your way, even if something's a little less precise, will help you go a long way. And lastly, we have Sagittarius. Yes, what I call the joy in failure. Sagittarius they are mutable fire. And so for similar to water, it's like if water is an element that moves and fire to a certain degree is an element that moves, what's more movable than a bonfire or the fire that burns steady in the hearth? Well, think about the sun. We get sunlight and our plants are growing and our trees are growing, but the surface of the sun is the hottest. I mean, there is nothing in our solar system right now that is as hot as the surface of the sun, right? So to speak. But we can't feel that. That's distant heat, right? The sun is also a star. Think about how many millions and billions and trillions of stars that we have in the sky. You would think that the heat that they're radiating off we'll be able to feel every single day. But we don't. It's distant. It's distant and it's coming to us as a resource. It is coming to us as a possibility. It is coming to us as a guiding light. It is coming to us as a source of inspiration. And that's mutable fire. Mutable fire is being able to see beyond the fire that's in front of you, being able to see beyond the flames that are in front of you, and thinking about the flame and the fire that burns in our heart and our spirits, the fire and the flame that gets us to wake up in the morning and feel rejuvenated and feel like we got this and we can take this, right? Mutable fire in Sagittarius is all about seeing the big picture in situations. And so where are they flexible and adaptable? They are flexible and adaptable to their philosophies and their ideals. So if you look at the Leo, who is committed to their ideals, regardless of whether or not they are realistic or not realistic or doable or not doable, Sagittarius sees the many, 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 many possibilities for what one's internal world can look like, right? For them, everything is possible. They can reinvent themselves. They may have a second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth version of their life, right? They're not just on their second life. They're on multiple lives. They're living multiple lives. And so when it comes to their impact on their environment, again, mutable energy is reciprocal, right? There's a reciprocal relationship. They are inspiring to other people. And they have the ability to renew inspiration in and of themselves. And that's on the healthy part, right? When they are in a healthy environment and they are able to philosophize about ideas, and they're able to think beyond the current confines of a relationship, the current confines of a work situation, of a country, of a place, right? Which is why you get a lot of Sagittarius or travel references a lot, because to see the world in so many different versions is something that is so deeply important to them. It's not just something fun to do. To see the world, to see different kinds of relationships, to see different kinds of families, different places, countries, customs, to look at religion in different types of spectrums and ideologies and formats, right? To look at philosophy and the different kinds of philosophies, even the opposing ones. That is something that is Sagittarian. That's feeding the fire that's within. That's feeding and aligning ourselves to the distant fire that is a part of our universe, to a picture and an image and a mindset and a thought process that is bigger than what this current reality serves us. And so they're able to, their mutable quality comes in into the practical world. It's not just one singular goal or the world that exists in front of them. It is all goals are possible, right? All ideals are possible. That you can lead in so many other ways. There are so many battles, so many wars, so many things that can be learned through simply experiencing and leaping and finding wisdom in places that you never thought existed. On the flip side, because that's a beautiful ass picture, right? On the flip side, is it creates a world if not balanced, right? If going unchecked for too long, it creates a world in where a Sagittarius never gets to really enjoy the fruits of their labor. They never get to enjoy the world that they've created for themselves. They never get to actually feel the fire that they stoke in other people, or the fire that grows within them, because they are too busy looking for the next best thing. Too busy looking for what comes next. Too busy fearing at times being fixed, fearing being tied down, fearing being weighted, right? Fearing their independence and being taken away from them, fearing that they can't move how they would normally move within a dynamic, whether it's at work or in relationships or in their family, and definitely in the world, right? So I think about the Sagittarians a lot, or anyone, I know folks who have a lot of Sagittarian energy. And again, the inability to travel, the inability to just go somewhere and find their light again. Oh, that's a big deal. The inability to break free, break away, even if it's just for a little bit. You know, that's a big deal, because those times when they are able to get out, get free and experience something new, they come back with the answer. They come back with the answer of whatever problem they have been trying to solve. Whatever in their life doesn't make sense, they come back with the answer, right? The inability for them to live in one country every single year. You know, this year I'm going to live in Spain. This year I'm going to live in South Africa. This year I'm going to live in Colombia. Their inability to find their joy among different places and different situations, and again, different people, different cultures, different experiences. It's been really difficult. But again, when left unchecked and when used as a way to escape life, there's a footing that's missing. We can all use a little grounding. And so even as someone with a lot of Sagittarian energy, a lot of mutable energy, finding your grounding, finding your footing in a life that is constantly changing is sometimes what you need. You know, even boats that travel and ships that travel all across the seas have anchors. At times you need to anchor so that you can actually enjoy the ability to escape and to be at sea and to be, you know, nowhere close to any real land. Sometimes you just need to sit for a while so that you can catch your breath and so that you can admire what you've created for yourself, what your inspiration has actually helped you accomplish in your life. Because there's a lot that can be accomplished in that level of freedom where you don't feel weighted and fixed and you don't feel like you have to stay somewhere. So very different from Leos, right? Where Leos, even they're a fire, but they're a fire burning in one spot. They want to heat this one place and this one room, this one situation, right? They don't have that same level of wanderlust innately. But as a Sagittarian, and you, whether it's your mind or your actual physical body or both, there's a wanderlust that you believe is so vital to someone even creating the life of their dreams. But you actually have to stop and create it. So for my Sagittarians out there, maybe this 2020 is a time for you to actually take your inspiration and make it real and bring it to the surface and bring it into actual physical manifestation. And then when we're able to, you go back out and you grab a little bit more of learning and experiences, and you come back and you build and you add even more value to the world that you're creating it with yourself, and the world that you're creating for others as well in your life, because everyone can be inspired by you. But again, you got to stop at some point so that you can actually build it, you can actually make it real. And so that's where, you know, Sagittarius energy comes in and expresses that mutable quality. When we look at the sky and what's happening right now, remember not too long ago, feels like a long time ago, but remember when Venus, beautiful, beautiful Venus, was in retrograde in Gemini? Remember when Venus was in Gemini and then retrograded in Gemini? That beautiful nervous energy of the heart was actually harnessed in that retrograde so that people could communicate their vision from an intellectual way. It helped people see their relationships differently, to see their position within those relationships very differently. Such a mutable quality, right? If we have Venus in Taurus, everyone feels good and everyone's loving and everyone's sweet and it's nice, but the opportunities within that relationship may be stagnated, right? It might have a very kind of fixed and like hard and steadfast quality to it. And so if you're trying to have a major breakthrough, it could be a little bit, more difficult than it would when Venus is in Gemini. Now Venus is okay in Gemini. Nobody would say she's exalted there, but when she was in Gemini, there was so much conversation in the lovers' circles around looking at the relationship, whatever that relationship was, looking at who you love, what you value from a very different point of view, literally changing your lens or defogging your glasses, just seeing your world from a very different place. And so that mutable energy of Gemini enabled a planet like Venus, who actually, you know, Venus rules Libra and Venus rules Taurus. And so she likes her life how she likes her life. She's very singular, she's very goal-oriented, and she also has the things that she really loves. But it enabled Venus to loosen up a bit and not be as focused, right? Or have multiple ways where she can play and express herself. And so she was able to love a little bit differently, and we were able to love a little bit differently, to take our relationships to a lighter, freer place where we have a little bit more levity. And so even if you had to end a relationship this year, ending it from, you know, not to use a buzz phrase, but, you know, a more conscious uncoupling, if you will, right? Where you can sit down and have a meeting of the minds with your partner and say, this is how I want to enhance, or this is how I want us to peacefully break free and move forward. Everyone got a chance to be a little unstuck and gain a little bit of perspective in a world that can be very fixed, very siloed, and at times a little too heavy. And that is it, my darlings. Thank you so much for listening to this final part of our astral ramblings all about the modes of astrology. I hope for those of you that got that Virgo, Gemini, Sagittarius, Pisces energy that you found this informative, and that maybe it helped for you to explain that energy to your friends and family who they're trying to figure out, why won't you just sit down already? Why won't you just settle down already? What are you thinking? Why are you feeling all these feelings? What are you doing? Why are you looking at every detail?
you just send them this podcast, send them this episode, and they can listen to it and hopefully have a deeper insight into why your magic works the way it does, right? So as always, I'm Siobhan, and I'm so thankful for you listening to this episode. There's a few more to come. Next, we'll be talking about prediction, right? Because I know everybody is waiting to get out of 2021. And it's like, what is my year going to look like? How? And listen, in spite of how crazy 2020 is, because we're still here, there's a lot to be said for everyone's charts and everyone's kind of annual forecast still kind of working itself out, even in a year that feels so unsteady and tumultuous for so many. And so we'll be talking a little bit more about, you know, timing techniques, prediction techniques in the next couple of episodes. And again, looking at that in response to, in correlation to the modes, you can kind of understand a little bit about your approach to whatever is to come and still to come in your astrological predictions for this year. So, as always, be good and wonderful and beautiful and kind to the universe so that the universe can continue to be good and kind and beautiful to you, even at times when it might feel or seem a little different. There's always some magic in the air. I bid you all farewell. Till next time. Bye.